Welcome, everybody, to WFHR's Playmakers. For this December 23rd, 2022, 10:04 on the clock. Got your host, James J. here. I am joined by Seth Habhacker.
Good morning, everyone.
We want to say a thank you to our friends at Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out. Thank you so much to Phil and the gang over there sponsoring the show. We appreciate our good friends at Quality Plus Printing. Go there for all your printing needs. Buy local, support local. Seth and I are here to take your phone calls, everybody. 424-2600. Join us with your sports thoughts and feelings. Whatever you got on mind, bring it sports related, bring it to us. We want to hear from you.
That's right.
After our break at 10:30, we'll come back with the 10 best Christmas Day moments in sports history.
All right. That's cool.
That should be a lot of
fun. That should be a good one, yeah.
I know Seth and I want to talk a little bit about Major League Baseball and some of the signings and the craziness.
Hot stove action, yeah.
Yeah. But real quick, I got to touch on this, Seth, because this broke in the last 24 hours.
Oh, sure.
NFL Sunday Ticket is heading to YouTube for the 2023 season.
Really?
Yeah, this is huge.
This is a big news right here.
The NFL announced a multi-year agreement on Thursday for Google to distribute the league's Sunday Ticket package of out-of-market Sunday afternoon games on YouTube TV and YouTube Premium channels. The seven-year deal is worth a little more than $2 billion per season.
Whew.
The package has been, and that's low, actually, lower than what the NFL thought they were going to get.
I'm kind of surprised, yeah.
The package has been on DirecTV since 1994. The satellite provider has paid $1.5 billion per year on an eight-year contract that expired at the end of the, that will expire at the end of this season.
Okay.
Now, one thing, if you are a DirecTV like owner, like
AT&T owns them, yeah.
It's, I mean, their numbers have been dwindling for years. I can't imagine what's going to happen now.
This is a hit. This is a, they're taking it right now, yeah.
I think I know about four or five people that have had DirecTV, and every one of them left it years ago.
Yeah.
Like, but the one guy, you too?
Okay. I did, yeah.
The one person I know that hung on to it was just because of the Sunday package.
Well,
just
not,
because
of that. They're not going to take it anymore.
Yeah.
Well, I'll go ahead. Finish up the,
just, okay. Yeah, the NFL had been seeking $2.5 billion per season for the package. It could still reach that, though, with commercial rights to bars and restaurants.
Okay.
This is the second time they've done something where they have worked with a digital company. They, of course, sold Thursday games to Amazon. That those have been on there.
Right. Yep. Yeah.
I just watched a little bit of one of them yesterday.
Yeah.
After my class wrapped up, it's like, oh yeah, that football I can watch. And I've been very curious to. I love Al Michaels, so I'm going to go where Al Michaels goes most of the time. He's on Amazon. I'm going to listen.
Yep.
The games have been bad. Like they have not been. The NFL did not help them out at all with these Thursday games.
No, they didn't.
I mean, it was Jacksonville and the Jets yesterday. Just horrible football.
Which I mean, to be fair, the Jaguars have some exciting young players and stuff.
True.
But the Jets
got a great defense.
Yeah, yeah. But again, I mean, I think I watched the one good game. That happened 2 weeks ago when the Rams had that big comeback.
That was a good game.
Which was a great game. But you're right. Most of them have been kind of yawn, you know.
But I have to say, the presentation for a first year doing it and everything, no complaints.
No, they seem to have that part really down.
I think they got the not only the presentation, but like the graphics, the camera work, like all those intricate things that we love about football, they got down. And again, you got Al Michaels.
You got Al Michaels.
I mean, you
and it really doesn't care who the color guy is.
Not at all.
Without, it doesn't matter.
I mean, I know it's Kirk Herbstreit, but it really could be, you know,
could
Joe
be anybody.
Schmo,
yeah.
It doesn't matter. Yeah. It's Al Michaels.
Yeah.
I think that is ratings wise, you know, especially again, it's the NFL. They understand that nothing's going to be where they want it to be in the first year.
Exactly.
I give the NFL credit on this. They are Marvel when it comes to the sports game. They understood way back in the 70s, let alone early 80s. We got to take our time with this.
Yeah.
We got to let this grow.
Yep.
And we're going to do this, this, and this to make it grow. And look where they are now.
Well, look on the other side now. This is a windfall for Google TV.
Whew.
Can you imagine? I mean, this is exactly what I think they were looking for.
Oh, yeah.
Something, a marquee thing that they could say, now come to us, you know, put your money up for Google TV. Because it, to be fair, it's not really been doing that great.
No.
You know, because of all the other streaming services, they really have a ton to offer. They do now.
The streaming wars that are going on right now are crabs in a barrel. Nobody's doing that good. It used to be, well, everybody's trying to be in second place to Netflix.
To Netflix, right.
And then for a while there, everybody's trying to be in second place to Hulu.
Yep.
And now everybody's fighting each other. The only, I would say, Because of the recent numbers. I was going to say Disney, but Disney, while Disney's not hurting because they're never going to lose money, quote unquote lose money, they have been from this. Their streaming numbers have, they're probably the lead dog, but not by a lot.
Yeah.
So everybody's kind of like pulling at each other. So your point about what Google did is similar to what Apple did with the MLS package.
Where exactly.
They're just trying to bring in new audiences. And hey, now Apple, it's shocking to me that Apple didn't get this, that they were outbid. Like, imagine that. Somebody was able to outbid Amazon and Apple.
Yeah, because Google is as big, if not bigger, than they are. But
that's the
But that's the thing, though. I mean, it's so, and I mean, Apple has, they've dipped their toe in. They've done last year they did the Friday Night Baseball thing where they had a major league game a highlight game every Friday. But again, they just dipped their toes in. This is big. I mean, although the one thing about this that kind of makes me wonder, the NFL didn't get their own price though.
Yeah,
which kind of surprises me a little bit.
Yeah.
So that means that there's something going on right now, and maybe the NFL is starting to lose some of its luster because, you know, if they were asking, I can think of a day when they would ask 2.5 and someone would have been, yep, I'll take it.
Yeah.
But now they actually, half a billion dollars less than they wanted. That's interesting.
I think you've got certainly the pandemic and everybody being hurt, even the Golden Goose in NFL being hurt by that because while the NFL itself may have not been, their advertisers were, which hurts the NFL.
Of course.
You have, the last, 7-8 years, you've had some protests, you've had some things that have pulled some people away.
Yep.
You have a lot of people getting cringier and cringier every time they see a hit and knowing what CTE is.
Yeah,
and
no things. Kidding.
So all this stuff added up. You know, I know that you have a point there. They know that you have a point there, too, because obviously they are taking less for certain things.
Yeah.
Here's here's something that every business, every organization runs into, and even us here at WFHR. You have this core audience. You have this longtime core audience, and you love and appreciate them. But you know that has a shelf life. And can only last for so long.
Mm-hmm.
And every business in the universe is always looking to get bigger. From every mom and pop store to Kmart to Walmart to any big conglomerate.
Yeah, right, exactly.
I just said Kmart. I just really dated myself there. I don't even know. I think there's
Kmart doesn't even exist anymore.
I think there's one.
I think there's one in the world. It's like Blockbuster Video. There's one left.
Pay no attention to that. We'll fix it in editing.
We'll fix it in editing.
It's live. I'm being told it's live. Everybody wants newer people. Everybody wants young audiences. 18 to 24 to 27, that demographic. How do I get that demographic?
We want that money. That's the money we're looking for. Yep.
We keep wondering what could kill the golden goose of NFL. I wonder if by doing these things, more and more of this, you're spreading yourself thinner and thinner, and you're reaching, you're going to an audience that if they were going to watch, they already would have been.
Boy, that is an excellent, excellent point, man.
I don't know.
I think they are spreading it too thin. I think there's too many extra games Saturday, Thursday, Monday. I mean, it's gotten to be a little much, if you ask me. It really is.
Your core audience looks for, okay, it's Sunday. I'm going to have games on at noon, and I'm going to have games on at 3. Either this network or this network, but a cable TV network that I can put on my TV, and I know right where it is.
Exactly.
With streaming, I pull up Thursday night game. I pull it up on my laptop, and I see Amazon. I click on that, and I can choose this broadcast. I just want to hear Al Michaels. Okay, I'll go to this main broadcast, and then I can go. Well, if I want, I can look at the stats while it's online. I can do this, and this. Now, I like some of that stuff, and I think it's somewhat fun. I'm still kind of old school too. Just let me watch the game.
Yeah.
So why do I have to go leap through hoops to get to the game?
That's why I bought this giant TV. Right, yeah, so I can watch football, you know?
Now, that's us.
Yeah.
And you and I, you are way more tech savvy than I am. But I'm not bad.
Yeah.
But even I get a little, frustrated with some of that stuff sometimes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I can't imagine if you are an older listener out there and you have no interest in the internet or technology, and your team is playing on Thursday Night Football, and you're trying to figure out how to watch the game.
Mm-hmm.
Or how do you even, if it's even an option for you to get the game.
Mm-hmm.
YouTube may be a little bit easier. I think people are a little more familiar with YouTube. It's mm-hmm. it's pretty much point and click kind of thing.
Yeah, I think, yeah, that's, yeah, I think that's been around long enough, and they haven't changed their format. So, yeah, I think it'd be easier for them to do that. So,
but this, I mean, this is an 11-year contract they have with Amazon for Thursday Night Football. So, I mean, it's not, nice. It's only going to go more that route, it seems like.
Yeah, and I... And you know what you were saying about cringiness when you see hits and stuff like that? They add games. They make people play on odd days.
Yeah.
Man, to me, it makes me just worry more about the health of the players.
Yeah.
Because if you don't have the big stars, if you don't have the big players, people aren't going to watch.
I mean,
if they're hurt all the time, why would people – they won't get to see what they want to see.
They're already dealing with it.
Mm-hmm.
They're already yeah. – you've got the guy who more than likely will be the MVP this year in Jalen Hurts. He's not playing this week.
No.
He's out this week. I mean –
For good reason. I mean, a shoulder, that's a yeah. – it's a little important for a quarterback to have a good shoulder, right?
I would say 80 to 90%, and I'm not even exaggerating, 80 to 90% of these guys probably should have the week off.
I agree.
But aren't
yeah.
because they're football players,
exactly.
and that's what they do. And,
mm-hmm.
and look, they're paid millions. Everybody wants to say they're paid millions of dollars, nothing to feel sorry for. I get that. Not every player is paid millions of dollars.
There's many players who aren't paid much at all.
No.
Think of practice squad guys, mm-hmm. you know, but they have to do it. Otherwise, there's no chance they'll ever get in. So, yeah.
It's going to be very interesting to see how this develops.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I agree.
Some other interesting news in the last couple of weeks. Hot stove stuff, MLB free agency, a lot of big signings going on.
Mm-hmm.
And all of them with the New York Mets. Every free agent has signed with the New York Mets. Every single one.
I just want to make sure that Correa hasn't signed with another team in the last 24 hours. Is someone else decided to sign him now? You know, Seattle looking for him? I don't know.
I'm only partially kidding about this whole Mets thing. Not only did they trade for lefty reliever Brooks Raley, and they got Zach Green from the Yankees, but they also, of course, signed Dave Robertson to a mm-hmm. one-year $10 million deal, Adam Avocado, two-year $14.5 million. Jose Quintana signed two-year $26 million. I forgot about that. Kodaya Sanga, five-year $75 million. The big Japanese star coming over.
Yep, yep.
Mm-hmm. Which, by the way, that $75 million is not even close to what they spent on that guy. Because they had to spend money to
the
just be able
fee.
To talk to him. Yes,
yep.
and all that.
Yep.
Then signing Justin Verlander on a two-year $86 million contract. Edwin Diaz re-upping five years $102 million. Brandon Nimmo.
It's Nimmo.
Nimmo.
Yep.
8 year, $162 million for him. And then most recently, as Seth was touching on, Carlos Correa, 12 year, $315 million deal.
Jeez.
This all together puts Mets owner Steve Cohen I heard Wilbon say yesterday, 800-some million.
805 for the entire length of, now that's not every year, but the entire length of all these contracts, it's 805 million, I think. Which no one has ever seen before, ever, not even close.
Been reading up on this a little bit because mm-hmm. I was looking forward to talking about this with you. And for really since the dawn of baseball, they haven't had a salary cap, but there's always been a gentleman's agreement with owners.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, you know, at one point it was this amount of money, then this point. And I would say when we came into baseball, when we were kids, Seth, by that point it was around 250 to 300 million.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't go over that. It was just a gentleman's agreement.
Right.
You didn't go over $300 million.
Yep.
It didn't. It that way. It didn't kill the small markets.
Mm-hmm.
But the Yankees, they still got to eat.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah. And it was. And there's a luxury tax. I mean, we do have to put that up there. And a lot of teams seem, you know, reluctant to go over that because the first level it's not so bad, but when you reach the second level, then it really starts to. Let's put it into perspective. Where their annual, they're over $300 million. The Mets are for next year. At this point, their luxury tax is going to be more than the payrolls of 10 teams.
Yeah, that's insane.
That's crazy.
It seems like if this isn't the bridge too far, what is?
This might have been what they were worried about all those years ago. And they're like, oh, all the rich teams are going to get all the players and all the other teams. I still don't know if I buy that argument because the Rays, because they're still winning and they're still projected to be a very good team this year, and they have no payroll. I mean, they have like zero. So it's hard to say what will happen. I can see some of the other owners getting upset about it for sure. But now, yeah,
I don't know what they could do about it.
They let him into the league. They let him buy the team. So yeah, there's not much they can do.
But I could see there's going to be some resentment there.
Oh, yes.
May even be some resentment with some of the bigger owners, you know, the Dodgers and the Yankees and this and that and everything. What I cringe at with this one is the argument that comes up every time players are getting money. Mm-hmm. Well, why are they're overpaid and all these things and stuff? And I don't disagree with that. Mm-hmm. They're playing a kid's game for a living. Okay, I get they should be paid a good amount of money, millions of dollars. I don't know. However, I pull back on that because of these owners. If you think these players are making a lot of money, imagine opening a business that you could literally do no advertising. You have to lift no fingers, nothing. Just open the doors.
And people will come.
You're going to fill the park. You're going to fill the park. Even the Oakland A's, who we make fun of all the time, make a profit.
Yeah.
Think of that. The Oakland A's, the Tampa Bay Rays, all these teams are always in the red. Always in the black. They're always in the black. Every time they're in the black at the end of the year.
Yes.
And they're making more money than we even know half the time. As far as Daniel Snyder and stuff like that.
To your point, what did we hear this last spring during the lockout from the owners? Why are we doing this? Mm. Oh, the pandemic was so rough for us. Yeah. We weren't making any money. Okay? New collective bargaining agreement is in place. Look at the contracts they've been signing this fall and winter.
Yeah.
They're insane.
Funny how quickly that changed.
Yes.
I cannot think of many things that I find more childish or silly than people like taking the side of owners. Like, why do we do this? Why?
Why? They don't understand.
Just because they own the team does not mean they own the team.
Right.
They can move the team. They can do all these different things with the team. Yes. You as fans are the true owners of that team. That's where it starts and ends. If you don't fill that ballpark, they ain't going to make money.
Yeah.
They are going to have a harder time and all that. Although, even with that, they've got TV rights now.
Huge TV revenues. I mean, those are big deals.
Which they've had for, over a decade and stuff. So the idea of feeling sorry for them or worrying about their pay, are they going to be able to, put food on the table? I hope Steve Cohen's going to be okay. They'll be fine.
Any sports owner, and baseball in particular, please, you cannot listen to their woe is me stories, okay? Let's make another example here, okay? The GM for any sports team is the front-facing person of the front office, okay? Yeah. They, there's a trade or a signing goes south. Who gets the blame? The GM does. Newsflash, people. Yeah. The GM doesn't make the final decision. It's always the owner.
Always. Every
always time. The owner that makes the final decision. They're the one that signs the actual contract with the player, not the GM, not anyone else in the front office. It's the owner of the team. Keep that in mind.
Yeah.
Which is, I was going to say Jerry Reinsdorf just to make you mad, but it just gets you to rant. Like Jerry Reinsdorf. Just because I love your Reinsdorf rants. They're funny. So.
God, I can't stand it. One of the most selfish people in the human history.
Oh,
like, easily.
Awful.
Easily.
Man.
I've got this amazing product in the Chicago Bulls, but I don't care because I'm a baseball guy. So I'm going to do everything I can to ruin that team, and they're still going to win 6 championships. I'm going to make one of the greatest players, if not the greatest player, in basketball history and make it so he never wants to come back to my franchise. That's how bad of an owner I am. I'm going to for years waste my team's money and time by signing free agents that it was 5 years before past their prime.
Adam Dunn, anybody?
I'm actually going to win a World Series, and then I'm not even going to reward the team or anything like that. Because, just ridiculous owner. One of the worst in history.
You're not wrong.
When we take a step back, there's certainly some signings that are still going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Looking at this most recent crop of MLB free agents, anything really stand out to you outside of the fact that apparently the Padres and the Mets think if you, the way you win a World Series is by whoever signs the most shortstops. I don't know when baseball changed.
I don't know.
And apparently you can have 90 shortstops on your team right now.
I think the two teams have the top 6 shortstops now. nominally or something like that. Some ridiculous thing like that. The other thing that I and to answer your question, sorry, to answer your question about that, right now it's basically the free agents are, you know, hole pluggers, you know, guys. Yeah, it's like a team like your Nathan Eovaldi. Well, who could use him as like a fourth or fifth starter? Yeah. Like, you know, the Rangers need a starter or whatever, you know, that kind of thing. Or, you know, they're not, there's no, all the marquee names are basically off the market now. Yeah. They've all been, which is really weird that it's happened before Christmas. I can't remember the last time that happened.
I don't remember. Yeah.
But at the, excuse me, but at the same time, I'm glad you brought up the Padres and the Mets, because sure, it's helped, you know, them get better, and they had good seasons last year. Didn't help them win a World Series.
Nope.
I'm fascinated to see what happens with the Mets this year, because if they have a, if they tank this year, or they don't get to like 95 wins or something like that, I'm sorry, that's going to be, yeah, see, didn't work, you know, kind of thing. There's going to be a lot of blowback for that. Yeah. So I'm just really interested to see how that works out.
I feel bad saying this, but I feel like I haven't been paying attention or something.
Yeah.
Carlos Correa, he's not a $300 million guy to me.
Mm-hmm.
He's 28. He's going on the wrong side of the contract here as far as his age goes for me.
Exactly, yeah.
And I know it's baseball, and these guys play into their late 30s and stuff, but
hopefully they play. I mean, there's injuries are always a specter, yeah.
I just don't – that probably is just as surprising to me as the fact that he has been on three teams in 2 days. You know, that's it's weird. It is.
Well, and maybe that's why the Giants, you know, said whoa. You know, there was something there that they're like, no, we're not willing to spend this kind of money because of that. Although I think there's something more going on with that.
Yeah.
There's something going on, and we're not going to hear about it probably for a little while, but something more will come out about that. I'm just curious about it. Yeah.
I definitely think we will.
Yeah.
I agree with you on that. I told you this off air when he signed the first time with the Giants and everything. I think you dodged a bullet as a Twins fan. I don't want that $300 million hanging over my head if I'm a Twins fan.
There's no way they're going to spend that much. The Twins wouldn't be able to do that. But, I mean, I know what you're saying. So they probably offered him less years, more money per year kind of thing. But
You can't tell me that that Carlos Correa was going to make you, with the Mets, Twins, Giants, that he's going to win you a World Series.
No.
He's a great player, great defender and everything. I don't see $300 million though.
Yeah, and he's not going to be a shortstop forever.
No,
after like
they're moving him to third.
Yeah, but I mean, right now, even if he was with the Giants, though.
He
would have been done in like 4 years. They would have moved him to third or first or something like that. Anyway,
don't the Giants have a nice young shortstop? I thought.
Well, he's not so young anymore. Brandon Crawford is there.
No, I'm thinking of I'm thinking of the Pirates. The Pirates have a nice young shortstop.
Oh gosh,
that 6'9" kid or whatever.
O'Neill. I can't remember his last name.
And the Astros got a really nice young prospect.
Pena. Pena. He's very good.
Helped him win a World Series.
Exactly.
Let's go ahead and take a phone call. Good morning. You're on Playmakers.
Yeah, good morning. I'm not very happy about all these streaming services getting all these football games.
Yeah.
When I grew up, we didn't even have a TV until I was 10 years old, and now I'm trying to figure out how to do it on the internet. I can't do all that stuff.
Yeah.
It seems like the NFL is doing a real disservice to the listeners, to the watchers like this guy.
Longtime fans.
Who helped build the NFL. Like, the NFL's nowhere without guys like this, without people who, you know, every Sunday watching your P1s, if you will, your diehard football fans.
Mm-hmm.
That it does seem like a smack in the face, right?
Right. That ain't really what I wanted to talk to. I want to talk baseball for
you. I thought so. You see, you threw me a curveball there, though. You did throw me.
about 54 days before the catchers and pitchers report.
Nice.
Oh, 54 days. It always comes so fast, after Christmas.
And I immediately felt warmer when you said that, sir. Yes.
Oh, spring training can't come soon enough.
Yeah, one of the sports writers, I think out of Milwaukee, listed the starting lineup for the Brewers in 2023.
Mm-hmm.
You got Yelich and leading off, of course, and then Willie Adames and William Contreras will be batting third.
Yeah.
Of course, Rowdy being the cleanup, playing first. And then Jesse Winkler will be the DH.
Yeah.
Oh, I'd forgotten about that deal. Yeah.
Yeah, the Winkler trade was a nice one.
Yeah. And Luis Urias will be at third, and Tyrone Taylor will be at right, and Mitchell Garrett Mitchell will be at center.
Yeah.
And then they have Bryce Terrain being the second baseman. So,
mm-hmm.
so that sounds like a pretty good lineup that will probably do some damage. Yeah.
I think so, and I feel a lot better about it knowing I got that pitching staff going into those
yeah.
games. That makes that team
yeah.
a lot stronger when all of a sudden you add that into it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're still looking for another pitcher yet, too, and they talk about training yeah. one of their extra outfielders, Mitchell or maybe Wink. What's his name? I forgot his name.
I know you're talking about. Yeah, I've heard rumblings that they are attached to him too.
Mm-hmm.
They're gonna pull in somebody because they still got some money to play with too.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. the word is out. That's a great franchise to play for.
It is.
Yeah. People love going playing at that park. They like the ownership. They enjoy the atmosphere, the fan base. It's. As far as small markets go, you look at like the Milwaukee Brewers, and then you look at like the Oakland Athletics,
mm-hmm.
and you would think on its surface, well, Oakland, that's California. They probably do yeah. pretty good over there. Milwaukee, it's a little bit of a smaller market. Oakland would kill for Milwaukee's numbers.
Oh, yeah.
They would beg yeah. for Milwaukee's numbers. It's a franchise that actually, under the wire kind of,
mm-hmm.
is becoming one of the more respected and loved franchises in baseball. Not to say that it always hasn't been looked at in a positive light.
Right.
But I think people are just finally starting to appreciate it with the new park and these things. And I know it's not a new park, but newer.
It's still newer, yeah.
Things.
Yeah, if Mark Antanasio sold the team and he moved to Las Vegas or something like that, we would have another team here within 2 years. I'm guaranteeing that.
Easily, oh, yes.
Easily.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, we've got history to show us this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that stadium is awesome to play in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It doesn't get really warm in, I don't know, first April games,
mm-hmm.
but it gets up to the 60s in there, so it ain't too bad. You can sit around with your light jacket on. So.
Yep. Way better than Old County Stadium.
Minnesota.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Minnesota, you can't do that in Chicago.
Nope, no. It is a really nice park.
Mm-hmm.
Always appreciate the call, sir. We'll talk more soon. You take care and have a great Christmas.
Yeah, you too.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. We are going to take a quick commercial break right here. We'll come back, and we're going to get into the 10 best Christmas Day moments in sports history. This should be fun. It'll be interesting.
Nice.
Coming up right here on Playmakers, brought to you by Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here at WFHR. Thanks for joining us for an extra innings edition of Playmakers, brought to you by Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out.
Mm-hmm.
Seth and James here with you at 10:34 on the clock, and we're here to take your phone calls, 424-2600. Please feel free to call up and join the conversation. In the meantime, we're going to go over the 10 biggest moments in sports history that happened on Christmas Day.
All right.
Whether any of these games produce some memorable moments remains, for some to be seen. Mm-hmm. But as you can tell, our top 10 competition has got quite a bit going on with it. Number 10, 2016, Pittsburgh clinches the AFC North with a last-second TD.
Hmm.
It's the NFL played its first Christmas Day game since 2011, and the Pittsburgh-Baltimore matchup was one for the ages. Trailing 17-10, heading into the fourth quarter, the Steelers scored three touchdowns in the final period.
Wow.
The last was a dramatic four-yard touchdown pass to Antonio Brown, 9 seconds left in the game. The winning effort not only clinched the AFC North for Pittsburgh, but it also made Brown the only player since Marvin Harrison to have four straight 100-reception seasons.
Wow. Oh, I didn't know that.
I don't remember that one that well. I do remember this one. 2003, Hawaii beat Houston in triple overtime in the Hawaii Bowl. I stayed up so late with this game. I actually ended up having to sleep on the couch because my girlfriend at the time didn't want me to in the bedroom because I stayed up too late. I remember this now, and I probably shouldn't be saying any of this on the air.
Oh, well.
Anyway, it's out
no
there
No wonder
now.
You remember it.
Yeah. That's a good point. Those who turned into ESPN on Christmas night got a glimpse at the future of the Big 12 football. The Cougars were led by future Baylor head coach Art Briles and the Warriors by Timmy Chang. Timmy Chang, one of the greatest college football players I ever saw.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you can put him in the top 50 even, but just like I remember him, every Timmy Chang gang had like 400, 500 yards in it.
It was crazy.
No defense. Yep, none at all. One of the most prolific quarterbacks in NCAA history, really. Mm-hmm. The two engage in a good old-fashioned offensive shootout where they were tied 34-34 at the end of regulation. Each team scored a touchdown on their first two overtime possessions. Hawaii got the ball first in the third overtime, and Michael Brewster ran 8 yards into the end zone, but the Warriors failed in a two-point conversion. However, Houston overtime possession ended on downs, and Hawaii came away with a 54-48 victory.
Okay, quick, before we get on to the next one, since you're an old football guy, which is better, the low scoring defensive nail biter or the crazy shootout? Which do you prefer?
Okay, I'm gonna lose my Chicago card.
Oh,
here,
no.
And I'll never get allowed back in the city because I'm gonna say I'm an offensive guy. Even though everybody in my family and my whole upbringing was defense, and I love defense.
Yeah.
I really do.
Yep.
And I have no problem with those games. I'm one of the few people that probably enjoyed a little bit that Super Bowl with the Rams and Patriots, where it was like 6-9.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't mind that one. Mm-hmm. I do like a good defensive struggle. But if you're telling me, like, on a Christmas Day game, where if I'm going out of my way to watch something on a holiday, you know, I want to see some action.
Yeah, okay.
I want to see some offense.
I hear you. Okay, that's good to know. Yeah.
Traditionally, probably more of a defensive guy, but, like, these kind of, like, yeah, give me some offense.
Give me some crazy offense. Yeah, those are fun.
Here's one happened way before us, Seth. 1941, the Detroit Red Wings beat the Brooklyn Americans overtime.
Oh, my gosh. Old school.
I had to look up who the Brooklyn Americans even were, and I'm a hockey guy.
Yeah.
And I did not know. I had to look that one up. So, yeah, the NHL used to have a tradition of playing on Christmas Day, and this game is the only one to ever go into overtime. As the Detroit Red Wings, beat the Americans.
Looking like a true Blackhawk fan.
18 days after the attack on Pearl Harbor.
Wow.
The NHL eliminated overtime in 1942 because of wartime restrictions and did not reinstate it until the 1983-84 season.
Really? I didn't know that.
I didn't either. So from the 40s to the 80s.
They had no overtime. That's why there were so many ties.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
It makes perfect sense, yeah. But I did not realize that.
Yeah.
I'm learning that just as you are.
Yeah.
The 1941-42 season was the last for the Americans franchise, and the NHL opened with its original six teams in 67.
Wow. How about that?
That's crazy.
That's some great history. Boy, yes. I don't know my hockey history that much, but that was a great – that's a great little bit there.
I thought I did know my hockey history pretty good, but I'm realizing here there's a lot I need to learn. In 1994, Don Shula breaks the NFL regular season victory record. The game between the Dolphins and Detroit Lions already had a lot going on. Both teams were 9-6 and battling for a playoff spot, and you had Barry Sanders in the middle of it all, entering the game with 1,831 rushing yards and a shot at 2,000. The Dolphins took control early, only holding Sanders to 52 yards and scoring on five of their seven possessions.
Wow.
The victory was head coach Don Shula's 319th great regular season victory, putting him ahead of Papa Bear George Halas.
Mm-hmm. You know, I can't think of a better guy to have have the most wins record. Don Shula was such a neat guy, you know?
I'm clearly biased with
of course.
George Halas.
Of course.
I'm not going to get on a pulpit here about the greatness of George Halas, how you would not have an NFL without George Halas.
Of course not. Yeah.
I won't go down that route, although I just kind of did.
You just did.
But you're right. You're right about Shula. Yeah. And I will say that because it's only a matter of time, if not, I believe he's going to do it, if not, he already done it. I know he's passed George Halas when Belichick does, rightfully so.
Yeah,
I have no problem with Belichick being the all-time.
He's one of the
leader.
Great coaches of all time. Yeah, no question.
I'm not a Patriots fan.
No.
I didn't like the run of the Patriots, but I think if there's a silver lining to this, seeing him now, getting to see, wow. Okay, so he has nobody, and he's still got like a team that almost made it to the playoffs.
Right,
like 2 years in a row, he's done
this.
If you see Belichick now in interviews and these things, he tends to be a little less like grumpy guy. Like,
I never understood, but anyway, yeah.
If anything else, all these players, like, they speak so highly of him and talk like he's a fun guy. Like, he's a jokester. He's a funny guy. He's like, I think he's a little bit lighter than we kind of like have like pegged him as.
I think that's true.
And I include myself in that.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not pointing fingers. Yeah. I've done the same thing.
Here's real quick, James, before we go on. I do want to say one thing about the difference between Belichick and Don Shula. Mm. And I think the reason I would hold Shula in a little bit bigger, a little bit better as a coach, just a little bit, is the fact that he took teams to the Super Bowl. He took teams to the playoffs. That over the years changed dramatically.
Yeah.
You go from the 70s Dolphins, which were a run team. They had Bob Greasy as their quarterback, not known as a great passer, but he was a great, you know, caller. He was a good quarterback.
Game manager.
Exactly. That's the word I was looking for. Because they had the great running backs.
Yeah.
And they did. I mean, they had, you know, the Mercury Morris, Larry Zonka, Jim Kick. I mean, they had three of the best. Ooh. Yeah. On one team, which doesn't seem fair. But anyway, and then you get someone like a Dan Marino.
Yeah.
And then you completely change and say, no, look at what I got here. I'm going to change everything. We're going to go to the air.
Give me the Marx Brothers.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's why I give him, because Bill Belichick is more of a come do my thing.
Yeah.
Join my program. Definitely. And it's a great program. It's obviously been very successful. But Don Shula was like, I'm going to see what I got, and I'm going to go with that. And it worked. It worked.
You know, I'm realizing, talking about this, and this is just an organic conversation, intending to do.
Exactly.
And this is no shot at Belichick, though.
Yep.
But whether we're talking in college and Nick Saban, or we're talking about Bill Walsh out in San Francisco, or Andy Reid in Kansas City, the greatest coaches adapt to the players. It's not, hey, here's my playbook, do what I tell you. It's, hey, I got this guy. I got a guy like Joe Montana and Jerry Rice and all this, and that's great. And all of a sudden, I get Roger Craig, and I got a running game here, too.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to adapt and go from this to that. Or, you know, you have to give credit to Nick Saban. He was a run-first guy, run defense. Saw where college football was going, and like, oh, I got to get some receivers.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're known as one of the greatest passing teams there is in all this stuff and everything. So, I mean, it's... Yeah, it's a good point to make, I think.
Yes, and we also, the other reason that Belichick is a little less than Shula and mine is that he was blessed with Tom Brady.
I mean, you have to give
Brady a lot of credit, too.
Absolutely. Just wrapping this up here, in 1933, Frank Click upsets Kid Chocolate for the junior lightweight title in boxing. 5,000 fans in the Philadelphia arena saw that. And it's one of the most iconic moments in sports history.
By the way, Kid Chocolate, what an awesome nickname.
Yeah.
That's a great nickname.
Eligo Sardinias. Yes.
Wow.
In 2008, Phil Jackson got his 1,000th win on Christmas Day.
Meh.
Sorry. I get it. The NHL ended Christmas Day. NHL ends Christmas Day traditions in 1971. Of course, they would bring that back.
Yep. Yes, they did.
2004, Kobe and Shaq faced off for the first time on Christmas Day. That was a good one.
That was a good one, yes.
Bryant, I think, had 42 points, drew like fouls on Shaq towards the end of the game. They were tied 91-91.
Mm-hmm.
Game went into overtime when Dwayne Wade led the Heat to the victory.
Mm-hmm.
Big Wade fan, so
yeah,
about a little
there you go.
And most memorable moment, they're saying right here, in 1971, Chiefs and Dolphins play the longest game in NFL history. The first NFL game ever played on Christmas Day ended up being the last for many years. Earlier in the day, the Dallas Cowboys beat the Minnesota Vikings 22-12. Then at Kansas City and Miami met in Kansas Municipal Stadium. The two teams battled back and forth and were tied 24-24 at the end of regulation. After a scoreless first overtime, they went into a second one. Finally, with 7:20 left in the second overtime period, Miami's Garo Yepermeli kicked the game-winning field goal. The game was actually only 3 hours and 21 minutes long in real time, but the outcry of how it cut into Christmas Day prompted the NFL to avoid scheduling another game until 1989.
Oh my gosh. Again, it was like that other one with the NHL.
Yeah.
What are these weird things happening on Christmas Day, man?
That's really funny.
That is pretty funny.
You could not plan that.
Of course not.
We will go ahead and take our final break here of the hour. We'll come back and wrap up the show, take some phone calls, have some fun. It's Playmakers, brought to you by Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out right here at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody, to Playmakers, Extra Innings edition of the show. We hope you're having a great one out there. Thanks again for joining us on Playmakers, and a big shout out to our friends at Quality Plus Printing sponsoring the show. Big thank you to them.
Yes,
indeed. We're going to get into our sports schedule in a little bit here. We'll remind everybody about our 3 hours of Christmas and what's coming up with that. Before we dive into that, Seth, you had a thought the other day, and I did not hear this complete thought, so
yeah.
I'm hearing this with everybody else.
Okay.
Where were you going with this? It was a Green Bay thought you said?
I listened to a little bit of Playmakers on Monday, and I was kind of I'm not the biggest Vikings fan in the world. I will own that. You know, they're my team pretty much. You know, they're the ones I follow and all that sort of thing. Yeah. And you know, they did something pretty remarkable on Saturday. They you know, the biggest comeback in NFL history. Yeah. And I was listening to this show, and I feel like I have to defend my team a little bit. So, and I understand doing this in the midst of being surrounded by Packer fans. Of course, it's safe in here because neither James and I are Packer fans. But we have like Kristen Bry who's coming in here right after we're done.
Yeah, we still
big
gotta go
Packer
outside
fans.
Of this
yeah,
we still have to walk outside.
So I'll
this
be careful.
Studio.
I'll yeah, be yeah. careful.
Thank you.
Anyway, I just heard you know a caller or two and hear talk about it. Okay. The thing that's one of the things that bugs me about Packer fans. Is the fact that they feel like they deserve to win. Like they should be all the time, team that's always there, you know.
Oh, this is where I thought you were going.
Oh, okay. See, well, okay, yeah.
that's cool.
Because James and I have teams that have a history of occasional success, but also lots of not-so-goodness, you know? Yeah, Let's just put it that way. So we understand that kind of thing. And it just bugs me a little bit that they have this expectation that they should be good every time, and it's like a shock when they're not.
Okay. I thought it was a little like I came out of that episode last Monday thinking, oh, well, I felt like it's the biggest comeback in NFL history.
Yeah.
I don't care who won it, who won the game. Yeah. We should be talking about it. And I felt a little like, oh, we should have touched on it more.
Well,
that's where I thought you were
and
going.
I was kind of coming around to that because so when a team like one of our teams that is a rival to the Packers, of course, and they do something good, they can't give it. They can't do it.
Yeah.
They just can't bring themselves to say something good. We are very clear. When the Packers do something good, we'll say, hey, good job for the, they do. I'm not a big fan of Aaron Rodgers, but I know who he is. He's a great quarterback.
You have no
he's
problem
done
giving credit where
Absolutely
it's due.
Absolutely not.
You're looking for that a little
exactly.
bit of that yourself.
Exactly. Just a little bit, you know, like, hey, they did something that no one other team has done before. Come on now. Come on, just a little bit?
I don't think that's a bad point.
Oh, okay, all right.
I just agreed with you as far as I think we should have on this show covered it.
Yeah, right.
Too. And give credit where it's due. What's the harm in it?
Yeah, exactly.
Especially because we all know they're not going to win. And I don't say that because of the Vikings. I say that because Kirk Cousins is your quarterback.
Yeah. No, I'm with you there.
I have to, real quickly, before we take this call, breaking news. The Green Bay Packers have signed Elgton Jenkins to a four-year extension.
Whoa.
$68 million four-year extension for Elgton Jenkins for the Green Bay Packers. So just put that out there real quick.
Good
Let's
news.
Take a phone call, and I think I know where this is going. Good morning on Playmakers.
Wow, James, you and I are too much on the same page. I would have to say this is probably my last time calling in because if we got to say something good about the Vikings and you know all this stuff, I just can't do this. I might a little bit for the Bears, but I never can for the Vikings.
I honestly, there's a part of me that actually does respect that. I know I shouldn't, but I say this to any sports fan because I know it's silly. I know it's to people out there listening that don't even care about sports. Like it seems ridiculous, but there's something so old school about it that I like. Now I think there's a line in the sand.
I think
we all understand that line. That's
right.
Why the three of us can talk like this and
exactly.
everything. I don't think our caller here is going to ever take things to a degree far.
Yeah, we're not Philly fans.
right.
I do have to say this time of year on. 18 years ago today, or tomorrow, excuse me, my son was born. So the poor kid is, he's a Christmas baby.
Oh.
But the best thing about it was that he was born, cleaned up, everything is back in the room, in time for the Packers game, and watch the Packers beat the Vikings on Christmas Eve 18 years ago tomorrow. It's always good.
Oh, my gosh.
Come on, you're making me tear up over here, man. This, I didn't know it was going to get all emotional.
See, well, it's I don't know what it is. It's something, but I've met. I mean, I talked to my brother-in-law. You know, okay, another big, huge Packer fan. I was like, okay, be honest with me. Is it better for you if the Packers win, or do you feel just a little bit better when the Vikings lose? Mm. I didn't get an answer from him. He refused. He gave me a look, though. He gave me a look. And I'm like, that's what I thought. I suspected as much.
I do think that, so here's a quick question real quick, and then we'll let you get going back to your day, sir. Thanks so much for calling in. My family, if the Bears weren't doing good, whoever was in the playoffs from our division, we still rooted for.
Okay.
So if it was Green Bay, it was Minnesota, it was Detroit, whatever.
Wow, that's cool.
That's where my papa always went. I'm not saying that he rooted like he got a jersey of them or anything.
Right.
But if Green Bay was in the Super Bowl, we were rooting for Green Bay.
Oh, okay.
I've never heard a Packer fan that felt that way.
No.
I've never met a Packer fan. I've never met a Minnesota fan. I've never met any. I grew up. So I just want to thank my papa, not only for wasting a lot of my sports energy. But I'm behind the ball on this one now.
Yeah.
I'm behind the game on this. I got to catch up to the rest of these guys, the Seth and our caller here and everything, to get into the rivalry stuff.
Oh, it's fun.
We do have a great time. I do want to say real quickly, very happy birthday tomorrow to your son, sir. That's great.
That's great.
That's a cool memory right there.
Yeah, so thank you. And we're going to, like I said, we always kind of celebrate a couple of weekends before that because
it's Christmas, of course. Yeah.
You know, but the one thing I did want to kind of mention real quick is that, and I know we're not going to get a chance to talk about for a couple of weeks, but Wisconsin football, I'm excited for already for next fall.
Oh my God.
Cool.
I wanted to actually spend the whole time talking about that, really. The last 48 hours, or I should say the last 72 hours,
mm-hmm.
what Luke Fickell has done. Let's stretch it out to the last month. Luke Fickell mm-hmm. has hired offensive coordinator Phil Longo, brought with rising Mike Tressel, landed transfer Nick Evers, retained star running back Braylon Allen, three, four other recruits, three, four stars.
Wow.
It's insane what he has been able to bring in.
Wow.
The Coach Fickell, it is a new day in Madtown, and it's a fun time in Madison right now. Thank you so much for the call, sir.
All right, guys. You guys have a Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Happy New Year to you, too. Appreciate the time so very much. Best listeners in radio.
All right.
Real quick.
That was great.
That was awesome. Want to look at our sports schedule really quick here. So we got good things coming up for you. Of course, this weekend you can look forward to Wisconsin football versus Oklahoma. That'll be on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then Wednesday you've got Wisconsin men's hockey versus Lake Superior. The Quick Trip Holiday Face-Off. That's a cool name.
I hadn't heard that one yet. But
Wednesday
yeah.
and Thursday you'll have that mm-hmm. Right here at WFHR. You'll have Marquette basketball on Tuesday on WIRI, of course. Be listening for that. We'll tell you more about this when we get back on Tuesday, but good stuff coming up for everybody. Also wanted to mention our 30 Hours of Christmas.
Yes, that's coming up. And don't forget, it's not only some of the classic stuff that you know and love, the radio shows, the music, but we're going to have special broadcasts of the Polka Show, 2 hours. A special two-hour show, the Polka Show. We've got 2 hours for Seth Faith's music, of course, and then we've got Director's Cut.
Yeah, looking forward to that. Seth, you've with your Seth Faces. Well, first off, the Sunshine Polka Show is a Christmas edition of that.
It is.
Tim worked really hard on coming up with some good Christmas stuff for everybody on that one.
Yep.
And then with Seth Faces the Music. So you did one last year. This is a newer one.
No, this is actually the same one as last year.
One?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. So did you? What was it about last year that really stood out for you that you wanted the audience to know? Because I know there was a couple of fun bits in there.
I tried to add a little more comedy actually on this one. Some comedy songs, some funny Christmas songs, and also some little bits I think I put in there as well. Stan Freberg, anyone who knows who Stan Freberg is, I'm one of his biggest fans. And he did some great Christmas songs, the parodies and that sort of thing. So it's a lot of fun. But also some songs you may never have heard. There's a couple of classics in there, of course, but there's also some songs you've probably never heard before. So enjoy it. There's William Shatner.
Oh, that's
singing Silver Bells.
That should be fun. And then we are going to be doing, actually, we're going to be recording it in just a little bit.
A couple minutes.
Melissa and Seth and I are going to go into the other studio, let Kristen come in here and do her thing. And we're going to go record Director's Cut, Holiday Edition, really deleted scenes from the morning show. We're going to get into our top five holidays, some strange, weirder Christmas movies that maybe you forgot about, maybe you never heard of. And Christmas, celebrity Christmas albums that are got dust on them. Nobody has seen these or talked about these in years.
I can't wait.
I got some really good ones in there. I got some fun ideas with that segment, too. We should have a lot of fun with it. We are wrapping up, really, Playmakers for the Year here.
This is our last one for the year.
I do want to send a gigantic thank you to every single caller we have had, every guest we've had on here. Of course, our local teams, our Rafters, our River Kings have been joining us on these airwaves. We had Matt LaPay here with us a couple times,
that was great.
A big, big shout-out and thank you to our sponsors. Comfort Air Heating Cooling was a sponsor for a while there. We certainly want to thank our friends at Quality Plus Printing. Getting your words out. Big thank you to them. And all of our co-hosts. Just take a moment here. Thanks, Seth. I appreciate you spending time with us on these airs here, too, and talking sports with us. Gigantic thank you to Randy Paul. None of this happens without Randy. Randy run a game here for decades, and one of the voices of WFHR. And certainly, the local coverage that Randy does is beyond, way above and beyond. And he's so good at what he does. He's my favorite announcer. He really is.
He's great.
And he's just as much of a joy to listen to on the airways for you guys as he is to work with behind the scenes for us. So I want to wish Randy and his and his, them a great Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. All to the greatest listeners in radio, a Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. Kristen Bride coming up, everybody, get ready for. You guys take care of each other. Have a Merry Christmas, everyone. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.